This is the Reflector Reflections podcast. My name is Annie. Join me as we journey around the world talking with fellow human design enthusiasts, specifically reflectors, as we experiment and navigate our unique design. Today's beautiful conversation is with Michelle. Michelle is a 6-3 reflector, a quad left with the cross of wishes. Michelle is a coach and mentor and specializes in trauma, crisis healing, and honestly, all the in-between. And I hit her up and I said, hey, friend, let's have a chat. It's been a while, hasn't it? I think it's been a year in the making, but we're here now. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm here for it. This whole patience thing, I'm really, you know, embracing.
Yeah, it's like, sign me up. When can I get there? Right, done.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll see you in about 2 years. Sounds great.
Well, as we do, I want to hear about you. I want to talk about your journey. So how did you find human design, or human design find you?
Well, that is an interesting story, because the way human design was presented, or how it unfolded into my life, was through a manifestor. And so, and one of my absolute best friends, we're in a coffee shop, and we're actually just talking, because we were doing other coaching things at the time. And, you know, and she was like, hey, do you know what your human design type is? And I was like, oh, yeah. I looked into that, you know. And she's like, and I'm thinking like the whole Myers-Briggs, right? And she's like, no, I think you're thinking of something different. No, it's like, it's this, you know, based on like astrology. And she kind of goes into it a little bit. And I was like, oh, I don't know what that is. And so I go home and I look up my type, and needless to say, I didn't go to sleep that night until I think 4 a.m. because I just dove so, I was like into 2027. I was like, oh my gosh, what is this? Well, I had so many questions. I'm calling her the next day and I'm just like, I have so many questions. So that's how human design came into my life. What better way than through the initiating manifestor, right?
I love that. And I love that you went down that whole like rabbit hole, because sometimes it does feel
so
like
hard
when you find something and your whole body responds to it.
Yes.
Because, you know, things interest us all the time, but it's literally that visceral skunk.
Yes.
I must. What?
Yeah. Yes. I need all the things. I need the answers to all the things. I need all the things right now. So it's so cute, because, like, you know, I'm coaching and people are like, well, where do I start? And I was like, well, you don't, you know, you can do what I did, but it's kind of, it's, you know, it's interesting, you know, and you might not sleep much. So there's that.
And what did you do after that? Like, just going down that rabbit hole, like, take us back. I need the full body journey.
Take us back. Oh my gosh. It was so crazy, because, and I think a lot of it, because I'm at such an older age, I mean, I'm going to be 47 this next year. So a lot of the, things that resonated, I think, are because I had experienced them, and a lot of the things that I had learned, came through those experiences, but were recognized through human design. And so then I was like, oh my gosh, I learned this already, but now it makes sense. Like, now it makes sense why, or what it was all for, what the, you know, cause that was always my question, is why the crisis, why the struggle, why, you know, why, what's it all for? And so going down that, you know, that rabbit hole into human design, and, you know, pulling out pieces here and there. I know they say don't do that. You know, they're like, number one, follow your strength and authority, like learn your lunar cycle. No, absolutely not. I went ass backwards. I'm the person that reads a magazine from back to front. So I'm the weirdo that's like digging into, you know, all the things. And so, it was so affirming. It was so, it just added to the awakening process that, you know, everybody always is like, oh, when was your awakening? I'm like once a month, you know what I mean? Like, it's just keeps, and it never ends. I don't think there's an end point. You know, I'm fairly confident there is not an end point, just because it just keeps happening over and over and over and over again. But yeah, so I just started to embrace it. And then I would read things and I'm like, that doesn't apply to me, you know, because it would be like, well, it's a 7-year experiment, you know, and in 7 years, this whole 7-year thing. And I'm just like, oh, I don't need 7 years, you know, and I'm just like, now I'm at the point where like, I'm like, I need so much longer than that. Like the experiments themselves, because that's what the whole thing is an experiment. Those experiments take time. And so if you're not in the environment where you can perform the experiment, it's delayed. And so I'm like, well, I can't experiment with this energy because I'm not in this situation to experiment with it quite yet. So it's been a very interesting. So I'm in year four. So I'm, in year four.
Yeah, it's know when you it's a joke, and I apologize to anybody who studies psychology. I have studied psychology, but you know, in the first year of studying something, you think all of a sudden you know everything. You're like, I got this, and then all of a sudden you're like, I have no idea. And then by year three, you're like, yeah, I'm doing really well. Year four is like, whoa, and it's just in and out, isn't it? I love that.
Yeah,
that you've journeyed.
It's been in and out for me. With human design, it's just been like, I've experimented with the sleeping situation. I've experimented with the lunar cycle. I've experimented with diet, with there's been so many experiments, and some of them I've redone. You know, I'm like, we're going to try that experiment again, you know, because maybe the circumstances are different or the situation is different. So there's been so many experiments, and it just keeps evolving and it just keeps growing. My opinion keeps, you know, ever evolving. And so, yeah, that's about it.
I also, you know, I've spoken to a few people over the years, myself included. There's this, when you find this later in life, it can be met with a lot of a grief process. Because I guess if you find this in your 20s, right, you've had life experience to that time and whatever has traversed through those. But sometimes when you're finding this in your 40s, 50s, 60s, continuing, there's so much more that you've been living, and I'm air quoting here, the not self. And it can be this real grief process that you need to go through to kind of go back. And I always sort of say, did you go back in your life and just go, oh, okay, and giving yourself that forgiveness and grace, you know, to
absolutely
no,
just looking at the because I know everyone has crisis and trauma in their life, but like, it was a lot through, you know, like the early teens to like early 30s, you know, it was just a complete just crisis trauma. And so almost, I don't want to say reliving, but going back and processing those emotions, knowing what I know and knowing what I've learned and applying the knowledge and the knowing has completely reframed that whole process. And there was a point, you know, in my much earlier years that I would have said, I wish I would have known about it sooner. But you know what? I wouldn't be who I am right now if any of those past things were different. So I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful that I found it when I found it. I'm grateful how I found it. And that's, you know, that's all I can do.
I'm the same. You know, if you were to, I think that as well. I think, oh gosh, I wish I'd known this so that I could have been, but it's like, Annie, you would not have listened. You would have been stubborn as shit and you would have been like, fuck off, you know?
Right.
And I'm like,
if I would have, I'm like, if any program tried to tell me, oh, you're going to have a rough, you're going to have a rough, what's that? Like, the second phase, you know, of your sixth line life, I would be like, I got this. This is nothing. Now I look back on it, I'm like, yeah, that was horrific.
You talking before, and there's so many questions that I want to ask you, but
yeah,
I'm leaning into that. You talking before about, you know, the experiment and even, you know, I'm like, I'm already hearing this quad left plus a 6-3.
Yeah.
I have, again, many questions, but for now, I have so much respect for six lines. They are by far my most favorite people because I kind of think, you know, I'm a fifth line or somebody else is a this line and they know, But you guys, like, you got to live these three different stages of your life, and you've got to beat yourself up against everything. And the 6-3 is essentially, or the 3-6 is a double whammy of that. It's just like,
Super
talk to me, friend, about take me back first to little Michelle. Let's go back. Yeah. Let's go back to little Michelle.
The first phase. So that was a very quiet, timid, shy, reserved, inside the head little girl, like extremely antisocial, did not want to, you know, be separated from the comforts of what she knew. Like, I was so different. My gosh, who was that? But so different. Like, I was very I was the person that always on a grade card got enjoyable to have in class because I never spoke. Like, I didn't talk. I didn't, you know, I wasn't social. And that took up until, I mean, it was that persona for a very long time, up until, you know, teenage years. And so it was really interesting, you know what I mean, to look back. I had a lot of visions when I was young, and my mom would always be like, that's you just woke up from a bad dream. You know, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd be like, hey, you know, our car is getting broken into or our something. And, you know, and she'd be like, how would you know that? It's, you know, you can't, you go back to sleep. You're having a bad dream. And the next day I wake up, the car was broken into, you know? So it was like, I had a lot of those like intuitive hits as I was younger. And then, you know, it's just, I don't know, the shutdown just kind of happened, you know, the intuition shut down, the emotional aspect of myself really shut down, especially in those like teenage, early adult years. And it's interesting because as I've passed through the phases, it's like it's all coming back, you know, slowly, but it's interesting to know that it's not gone forever. You know, it's like I didn't, you know, completely destroy my superpowers.
I love that. And what happened, do you think, during that? Because I can really identify with that too. Exceptionally spiritual child, but again, and no fault of their own. I'm not laying blame.
No,
but it's just like, no, you're making that up. No, that was just a dream. Right. No, it's fine, you know.
Yeah.
And then you do shut down, don't you? So
yeah,
I'd like to hear what happened to you in your teens. Is that the clap back from that shutting down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in my chart, I don't know if you noticed, but the solar plexus is wide open, not one activation. So when I feel emotion surrounding, are you too?
No, I'm just like, and your head, your head's completely open as well.
Yes. And so when that emotion, like I was the, you know, the amplifier too close to the speaker and it goes and gives you that horrible feedback. That was me as an adolescent, as a teenager. I was reverberating all of the emotion from my entire circle of friends. And I got in with, you know, it was not the greatest of, you know, say not great. It was what it was, you know, it was crisis. It was trauma. There was a lot of things going on, but I very much, kind of just brought everything inside of me and then let it just consume me. And so my dad, I've told this story a couple times, and again, it's no fault of his own. He was only trying to give me advice to help me, you know, but what I did was I shut down completely. And so he basically said to me, if you don't shut this down, like if you don't stop these emotions, like stop absorbing everything from everyone else, you're going to implode, you know? And so instead of learning a healthy way to, you know, even though I've absorbed something, to ground and release, I just completely brick walled it. So I was like, nothing in, nothing out. I was basically emotionless for a very long time. And just, I mean, I was to the point where I was like, am I a sociopath? I was like, is this, can you like become one? Are you born one? And so it was like I said, when I realized about human design, I found my open solar plexus. I was like, oh my gosh, that makes sense. Not everyone resonates with that. And they're, you know, they're usually the person like, oh, I feel tons of emotion. I was like, yes, but when I was in that early adolescent stage and, you know, my dad was like, you've got to shut this down. And I did. And I was like, shut it down. And yeah, that was kind of the end of, you know, the intuitive feeling of like, I always knew it was there and I could still read a room or, you know, kind of feel what a person was feeling. I didn't make it known. I didn't talk about it. I didn't, you know, anything. So,
and the body keeps score, you know.
Yeah.
How did that manifest later on? You know, you can pick it a mile away. We're all the same. If we shut down, it's going to come out. Yep. And it's like, ooh.
Absolutely. Yep. So that came out of me in the form of severe gallbladder attacks. Had to have that removed, and I get shingles outbreaks now when I hold too much in. So. I know immediately.
So, no, that's like, so interesting. Oh, I had shingles once, and then the second time I got shingles, which was about 3 years later, in huge stressful situations. And I remember my doctor saying to me, Annie, it is not normal for people to get shingles twice or even more because that's your immune system is just like, I haven't had it since. So that's very interesting that you say that. It's like, wow, it's always something.
I know. It's crazy. And I mean, the whole liver component with the gallbladder is right there, you know? And so, yeah, it was like, it definitely comes out in the body. It's at some point. And so that's when I was like, okay, we need to figure out how to work with this energy without, you know, completely closing it off. But in order, you know, I'm going to absorb some, you know, I go out places, you know, it's like, you're going to absorb some things. What are healthy ways to release and ground that energy? So that way you're not holding on to it for, you know, days, weeks. Yeah. So it was really, really important that I learned that. Came kind of late, but you know,
you got there in the end. Tell me, you know, the whole third line. It's like you kind of have to do it.
Yeah.
Did you notice any changes, you know, now that you look back? I love hindsight for this reason. You can kind of go, oh, there is something to this. Because what point did you notice the shift in your late 20s? Did you notice the shift?
Oh, massive. Yeah, I went through a horrific divorce at 24, left me single with two kids. And then within those, it was maybe, let's say 24 to 27, I just literally evolved into a completely different person, got remarried, had another child, completely different marriage. I mean, like and my friends that have been my friends, like, since, you know, elementary, there's only a couple. And they're like, it's so weird because you've been so many different people. I'm like, I know, it's strange for me too. But so that second marriage, and, you know, people are like, he is nothing like your first husband. I was like, well, that was my plan. You know, it was like to go completely 180, right? I was like, we're never going to do that again. So I was like, we're going to go completely the opposite direction. And I did. And it was just like the evolution of this second phase of me came into existence. And even though, I mean, there were still traces of previous me and into this one. But yeah, it was kind of like the end of the massive crisis and trauma, you know, but then I look back on it and I'm like, it was really just a different crisis and trauma. It wasn't a physical, it was more of like emotional, mental. And so working through all of that has been, And so and then when I learned about the roof, I was like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. Like, it's been, just absolutely affirming and just nice to know, you know, what's going on.
And again, the roof for a 6'3",
Yeah.
You know, the roof for a 6'2", that's different. The roof for a 6'3", it's like you're still up there, but you still got to be in there. It's like, do you
Yeah.
feel it's a constant contradiction? It's just like, okay, I've got a 6 line. I'm supposed to be up on the roof observing. But at the same time,
Yeah.
I got a body. My body still wants to play. It's like,
Yeah.
what do I do here, friends?
I feel like I'm not as fun. It's like,
Oh.
I still get invited to things and they're like, you're not as fun as you used to be. I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Because you're not doing so, all the crazy shit.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, look, jail at 47 is not fun. And that was always my joke. I always joke about 6'3s. I'm like, where are all of us? You know, I always joke. I'm like, I wonder what the percentage of 6'3s are in prison. I'm just so curious. Because we're living such,
they're either in
you know
prison
what I mean?
or they're like hiding out in the sticks and they're just like, nope, I'm not. I'm just going to stay here in survivor mode.
Exactly. I know. I just had an astrologer. He was like, in a past life, you were definitely a hermit. I was like, I can see that.
Yeah, but I didn't want a hermit anymore. I needed to come right out. Oh, gosh.
So, yeah.
So in this journey of your human design, what you've sort of said, and I know you have because you're a double three in a way. You've tried everything.
Yeah.
But tell
so many
me about
things.
Some of the first things that you started to do, like finding reflector. You were saying you're tracking. How did that look for you?
Oh gosh, it was kind of all over the place. You know, I would bounce between, you know, like as far as experiments, I would try, because the one of the first things that really struck me with human design was with specifically with reflectors, or I should say non-energy types, is sleeping in the same room with someone who is. And so, you know, I experimented with that, and I just have found, you know, interest some things, but I was like, maybe, you know, and I can see where it can definitely apply to some, but I haven't found, you know, the conclusion with that experiment was it doesn't seem to affect me. And so I don't know. And I don't have any like reason why, or is it something specific? Like my husband's a generator. And so I don't know if there's just something that doesn't affect my, I sleep 8 to 12 hours each night. Like 12's fantastic. Yeah.
Bloody like, hell, woman.
Well, all my kids are grown. My kids are grown. I have no, there's no, I don't even have pets anymore. So I'm like, all the kids are out of the house. So I've worked it to where, you know, I don't have to wake up until like 9 or 10. And so it's, you know, it works out. But
are you going through menopause at all yet?
Oh yeah. I've definitely hit like Perry.
Sleeping.
She calls it perimenopause. Yeah. I love sleeping.
Anyway, that's a segue.
Love it. Yeah.
I was the same. Like I really experimented, and my partner's a generator as well. And
yeah.
My experiment has led me, there are times where I really need to be on my own.
Yeah.
I just need my own. And I know now when that hits, like in the past, it was like, I used to call it a coil. It's just like the coil became really tight. And then Annie would lose her shit.
Yeah.
But now it's like,
burn the house
I know
down.
When it's pretty much like a,
yeah,
there she goes. It's like a slow boil, whatever other terminology. But I have found because he's a 2-4, so he also needs his own retreating and space.
Yeah,
we can separate, you know, so our energy can calm. Like he's at one end of the house. We, you know, thanks to COVID, everyone sort of started working from home a little bit more.
Yeah.
And we're kind of separated from our offices because originally we were in the same space.
Oh, yeah.
So I find that that's really helpful. So I kind of, when people say, oh, you need to sleep alone, or non-energy types need to sleep alone, I'm like, I think you need to play with it. And that's the advantage of experiment, isn't it?
Yes. I'm like, definitely experiment with it. Don't take my word for it. See how it works for you. But I will say same thing like with you. Ideally, I would take like 1 or 2 days a month and just like I would go stay in a hotel or go stay in like an Airbnb or whatever. But usually once a year, I'll do like a whole week into where I go somewhere. And it's so funny because my friends are always like, come stay with me. And I'm like, well, you can't be there or.
Yeah. So okay, but can like, you leave the house?
Please. Yeah. I'm like, I really want to visit you, but this whole week has to be. So I've went and stayed in like tiny cabins, like by myself for, you know, 3 to 5 days. And that is so rejuvenating. And I don't notice much difference, like in my sleep per se, like I still sleep really well, but energy wise, I just feel like recalibrated, you know, like I feel like I've been reset, like I hit the reset button. And I will tell you, when the first time I ever proposed to my husband, taking, and we were young, like we, you know what I mean? I was like, okay, I'm going to go away for a week. And he was like, what? And he was like, why? He's just like, why would you? And so now years, and again, so once Finding Human Design, he explained to him, I was like, well, this, he's like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense why you would need that. And I'm like, yeah. Exactly. So yeah, the communicating the needs has definitely been easier when I'm like, okay, in human design, this is this and this is that. And so he's learning and it's really helpful.
I love that we are often already doing what we know we should do. And a lot of that kind of like natter in the old clunker up here is a conditioned response. You know, that, how do your friends, because I know in the past, you know, you kind of think that, you're like, your friends say, come and stay with me. And you're like, and deep down your body goes, I really don't want to, but I feel I should.
Right. Yes.
And I've kind of gotten to that point. Just as an example here of how much I've grown in that capacity is my aunt passed recently. So we traveled 4 hours, my daughter and I, and it was like, well, you can stay here with us. And I was really honest about that. And I said, actually, no, I'm going to get my own place because I don't know how my energy is going to feel. Yeah. And I just need to be, obviously I have my projector daughter with me, but I need to be in my own space. Annie, even like 3 years ago, would have still felt shame. I still would have been like, I can't say that. That's not right. But now it's like, no. And so I'm finding that my friends now, the boundary is being created. It's just like, Annie needs her own space. And it's kind of become normal. Do you find that? How do your friends take that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the new friends, it's so funny. I love that you just mentioned that because I just went to out of the city, a conference with a friend of mine. And we go to this conference. They give us, you know, they're like, oh yeah, we'll totally put you up at the hotel for the next day for the conference. So we drive in. It's like a 6-hour drive to get there. We drive, we get to the hotel, we check in. And she checked in. I was, you know, in the bathroom or whatever, getting bags out of the car. And she walks up to me and she has one envelope. And I'm like, I'm thinking, well, maybe if it's double beds, you know, we walk into this hotel room. It is one king bed. And I said, absolutely fucking not.
Love it.
And she at first she's just like, I mean, I'm not going to like try to cuddle you or anything. I'm like, it doesn't matter. I was kind of thinking to be okay if it was one room, but absolutely definitely have to have my own bed.
Hard no.
It was a hard no. So yeah, it was but yeah, the older friends are definitely understanding, especially because so many of them are now into human design and their aura types and figuring out how everything works. So it's super cool. But yeah, it was, that was, every once in a while you get tested, you know, it's like, hey, how do you feel about sleeping in one bed with a Manny Jen? Absolutely not.
it's a new friendship club, isn't it? It's just like, I really like your energy, but what's your birth time?
what time were you born?
What time were you born? And they're like,
and they're like, what?
You're weird. It's like the weird. Not weird ones don't retract from that question. They're just like, right. Oh, okay. And then you can stalk them and go, I don't know if I need another one of those in my life. No, I'm kidding.
Right. You're like chock full on Manny Jones. No.
Yeah. Well, you will be because they're everywhere.
They are.
You're the token reflector.
Right.
I want to take, now that we're talking about friendships and stuff like that, it's really good because I want to take you back to that. You'd mentioned before, and I can really identify with this, you know, your friends have known you through so many different phases.
Yeah.
Do you have, and not to put you on the spot because I don't, I have probably two friends that have known me, actually three, that have known me my whole life. Two of them are just more acquaintances now. One of them's been there for a very long time.
Yeah. I have two as well.
Yeah.
How interesting.
And one of the one that knows me very well, I think she finally gave up trying to get to know me. But it's been in the last 10 years that I've developed more friendships that they really, it's so wholesome for me when I can talk to them and they're like, Annie, you change all the time. Like, it's just who you are. And I feel so accepted instead of feeling, again, that shame and guilt. Can you talk to me about your friendships?
Yes, absolutely. So mine, I have found, and this fascinates me to no end. And I'm so curious what all of their perceptions are, because when I look at, you know, this friend group and these acquaintances, they all have these different versions of me, you know, like in their head, and they're all right, but they're all just so different because there's been so many different variations, so many different iterations, you know? And so it's so interesting. And some of them, my close ones, will share with me, you know, what they thought when they first met me, or, you know, what it just, as the evolution has gone through, you know, the process. And so that fascinates me to no end. I'm like, that is so interesting, you know, to have all of these people that know me, but they know different versions of, you know, of that person. So it's wild. It's so wild, because especially with like how, you know, how different we can be on a daily basis, you know, that one friend that, you know, maybe is like, oh, well, you know, you read books. Like, we just thought you danced on tables and did shots. I'm like, that's Wednesday, me. No.
That's right. Just wait. Wait for the moon to change. Just wait. Hold still. One moment.
Coming back around. So it's been extremely, like I said, that to me is just absolutely fascinating. And I used to, and this is another thing, when I learned human design, it was so like confirming for me, because I used to get all the time, oh, she's so fake. Like, she's not normally like that. Like, she's just, you know, I got the fake comment all the time. And being authentic was so important to me. But also being that, like, being a chameleon is what is authentic, you know? And so instead of being ashamed of that and feeling guilty and feeling like, okay, I need to be the same person every day across the board, and I'm like, that is so unattainable. Like, there's no way. Like, some days my energy is like, whoa, crazy. Yeah. And some days I'm like, stay in bed. So I don't, I was just like, I can't live up to, you know, that perfect person that's the same, you know, somebody that has a solid identity center.
I always say that, let your freak flag fly. And you know what, just saying this as well, when you come into this crone energy, which we are in, you know, coming through your 40s and that, there is the filter start to come off. It's just like you stop giving as many fucks about shit.
And
you're
absolutely.
Like, oh my God, I've sacrificed so much of myself.
Yes.
I've abandoned myself time and time again for other people's opinions.
Yeah.
So I always just go, let your freak flag fly. But it's interesting that you were saying that there about, you know, the fakeness and stuff.
Yeah,
because I have found myself and with other reflectors that I know, and I use it in reference to frequency, because we go into a situation, we literally kind of like match people's energy.
Yes.
We match their frequency. And the ones that would say that, oh, she's being fake, it's just like, well, are you fake? Like, it's just, all we're doing is kind of blending in. That's that chameleon
just reflecting,
aspect. It's fascinating.
It is.
It's like you're still think of Kaz, my friend Kaz, she's a 5-1 reflector out here too. She always says shit deflector. It's a shit deflector. It's just like letting you go, okay, well, these people that's not you, because all you're doing is being in this, in their energy.
Yeah.
And trying to kind of like feel them and be in that space.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
It is. It's so fascinating. And so then again, with that whole understanding the mirroring and the projection and the reflection, and it's like, you know, when I hear those things, like it's very rare. It's so rare these days that I get, you know, she's just fake, or she's, you know, whatever. First thing I'm thinking to myself, they are afraid of being inauthentic themselves. They are, you know, not holding to their own ethics and values. You know, there's so many things, like I'm immediately like, it's not, you know what I mean? It's not this. They don't even know, you know, most of the time it's someone that I don't know well and just has a, you know, an opinion, or they just got that super fast reflection of them. Sorry.
The gift that keeps on giving.
It is. Absolutely.
And I guess in this journey of becoming a reflector, it's one of the things that I like to talk about a lot, because there is a lot of, I don't want to say false, but I do want to kind of say false. The opinions and things on reflectors is not very, it's not very wholesome. How is your experience finding reflector content? Because you've been in this space for a while.
Yeah.
Especially during COVID, it's just like everybody came out, didn't they?
Yeah, I know, right? That was, mine was right before that. So it was, you know, like absolutely. And I think it's been so evolving. Like I will read a piece of content, you know, it's like, after so long, you just hear like the basic things. You're just like, oh, that again. And like, I love it when people do the slides, you know, and it's like this generator for the Manny Gen. It's always like something really like interesting. And then you get to the reflector and it's like, follow the lunar cycle. And I'm like, not again. And I'm like, it's always the same thing. I'm just going to, my tagline is now going to be follow your experiments, you know, follow the experiments, your experiment, not the experiment. You know, it's like the experiment is your experiment. And so it's like, I think, I don't know if you know Destiny, but she said something one time. She was like, what was it? She said, Ra said, for us to, no, not to know ourselves, but to know the program. She's like, but we are the program. I'm like, exactly. So it's such a contradiction in so many different ways. And so I'm like, yes, absolutely. It's so interesting. And so, yeah, I think a lot of times especially when I'm doing readings with like reflectors, I'm like, just experiment with whatever it is, whatever pieces of information you come across, see if it resonates with you. And if you are uncomfortable with it, or if it like immediately like triggers this visceral thing, you know, dive into why. Like, why does this, you know, why does this upset you, or why does this, you know? And so I still do that, you know, when I run across things, I'm like, I still have such a hard time listening to Ra's voice. Yeah. I mean, look,
just get the transcription.
I'm like, I know. I'm like, I just like listening to people are like, oh, you listen. I was like, oh gosh. Like I, you know, thank God for the download and the transmissions, but sometimes that audio is so hard to listen to, but it's evolving. You know, it's, I keep trying. And
I have a love hate relationship with those audios. Sometimes I'm like really into it.
Yeah.
And I put it on like, you know, speed 1.5.
Good idea.
Other times. Yeah, 1.25 actually. 1.5 is too fast for him.
Yeah.
But and then I don't get triggered, because if I listen to things too quickly, I get like,
too much.
But if it's too slow, I'm like, get to the point.
Point. Yeah.
Point. I love that you were saying that about, you know, the last slide in the carousel on the social media. And it's also like when you buy, or in the past, if you're interested in a course. And I always sort of like look at the courses and see, okay, well, you know, we might have 30 minutes on the manifestor, and we might have 40 minutes on the generator, and there might be a little bit more time on the projector just because of all of the authorities. And then it's like 7 minutes on the reflector, and it's like, oh, this person doesn't know shit. Sorry, that's a bit judgy. I have a lot of judgment in my chat. Hey. It's all right. I just call it like it is sometimes. I'm like, nope.
Nope. I mean, yeah. I mean, how many times I've heard, and I don't know if this is factual, but someone told me throughout my research that I think Ra passed when he was really diving into the reflector, you know what I mean? Like those transmissions. So I'm like,
yeah.
What do you know? What did we? Is it up to us to just be? I mean, and so I think some of it maybe we just have to. I love when I hear other reflectors that are able to digest. I know this is not a great term, but and then regurgitate the information in a more palatable way. Yes. You know, like baby bird information. I'm like, give me baby bird information. You read that. And then, you know, give me your take on it and explain this to me in a way that makes sense. So, yeah.
Because that's kind of the first information that we're given, isn't it? It's just like, well,
yeah.
Okay, follow your strategy and your authority. It's just like, okay, wow. We have a strategy.
Yeah.
We don't have authority, apparently, because, you know, everything's external to us.
And it's exactly.
Like, wait a lunar cycle. And so the first thing that a lot of reflectors do is then they go, well, how do I do that? And it's like,
yeah,
but that's not even really going to tell you much. But like, right. It's going to teach you about how the transit works and how influenced you are.
Yeah.
And do it by all means, experiment with it. I've done it. I can teach it, but it's just like, you'll get to the point where you're just like, how about me just being me is enough? Like, and knowing that I need time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very simple.
Yes.
How do you
absolutely.
Feel about that?
I definitely agree. I've met so many reflectors who it's like, they're like, well, I'm trying to think of just a basic one. I'm thinking about doing this program. And I really want to start it next week, but I haven't waited my lunar cycle. And then the questions come, they're like, well, you know, when did you first start thinking about this program? They're like, oh, a year ago. I'm like, you don't have to wait. This is already digested within you. You're ready. You know what I mean? Like if you feel like you're ready to go, this is, you know, you're ready. You don't have to wait. You know, this already came into your consciousness. And so I don't know about you, but I've really been cognizant of that the past couple months is like knowing when ideas pop in and then they literally just bounce around, not horribly or anything, but they just bounce for a while. And sometimes they just fall away and sometimes they stick. And it's like, huh. So is that something that deserves some, you know what I mean, more time? Maybe it deserves my attention. Maybe I need to research it a little bit more. But I just think of it as like bouncy balls, you know, of these things in my head that are just like, oh, they've been floating around for a while, you know. It's like, do I want to pull it down into the conscious? I don't know. And so it is interesting when you think about like, I've actually had that thought or that idea for a while, sometimes a long while.
I really love that because that is really solid advice. It's just, you know, you want to do a course or you want to do a new degree. It's just like, you've kind of been chomping, you've been thinking about it for a while, but now somebody's put something out there and you've been initiated to respond to it.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh. But I do find also, I love the ping pongs. It's like, bing bong, bing bong. That's how completely open headset is, by the way. I can totally get down with that. Just exactly how it feels. But sometimes I do need to, and I know it now because I feel it in my body. It's like I get excited and I'm thinking, ooh, I've got to be careful here because this is the shiny. This is where the rose-colored glasses go on. And these are the ones I've got to wait because it's just like, I can do that now. And I can do a little and a little and it's just like, these are the ones you need to wait, honey. you know, it's like the honeymoon phase. It's just like, I'm going to figure out that this course or this program or this whatever it is is not as good as I think it is.
Yes, yes.
And that's the benefit of waiting.
It is, absolutely. And that, or it's the thing that you've waited and waited and you've thought about it, you've envisioned how it might look, how it might taste, how it might feel. Yeah. And then when you kind of, you actually start to go down the road and every single piece falls in place and you're like, now is the time.
Yes.
it's you know, just that you know, it just wasn't the right time before. And now when things start clicking into place, it's like, okay, now I can see this, you know, everything's aligned, everything is ready. And evidently I am too.
I love the idea of active participation in our lunar cycle, because I don't know about you, but, and I've sort of said this a few times, when I first discovered this all this years ago, when they said, follow your lunar cycle, I literally took it literally like, oh, full moon. I didn't know. I was like, I laugh at sweet little girl Annie back then. I'm just like, oh, okay. So it's quarter moon. Write that
quarter
down.
Quarter moon waxing.
No, I've always really, I've always really enjoyed that. But it was just like, oh. So, you know, the language like that really matters.
Yes.
Just humor me, because, you know, you're such a vibe and we're laughing back and forth and having fun. What were some of the things that you did? Do you have any that you did and you're just like, oh, little Michelle, look at her.
Yes, I'm sure there are so many things. Like, I think the biggest one was, like, I could not for the life of me grasp what that meant. What it, because I am so, I'm like, I need to visually see this. And there's a diagram in, I think, oh gosh, is it Richard Rudd's? I'm looking at diagrams. I'm trying to figure this out. And I'm just like, this doesn't make sense. I'm thinking, are mine different? Am I a Manny Gen this day? Am I a generator this day? Like, it was just, oh, it was so difficult to even and just comprehend. And so I would like get not in arguments, but like, have these very, you know, in-depth conversations on Facebook about, you know, certain things. And it was just like, not in, so many times people take me as defiant when I'm just asking why, like, but why? I need to know the behind, you know what I mean? That, like, I need to understand what your perspective of this is, but why? And so I got into so many, like, you know, conversations, and it was so much weird advice, you know, that I'm like trying to comprehend and find. And sometimes I would just give up, you know. I'm like, well, I just give up because I can't figure out, you know, how to do that. It doesn't make sense. And so many times, like, either a month would go by or a couple months would go by, and I'm like, oh, I got it now. Like, that makes so much sense. But it would take, yes. I mean, I so many times where I was just like, oh gosh.
Oh, I really appreciate that, understanding the why. It's like that, getting into that nitty gritty. Now, you've also got four left arrows. And so for people playing along at home, that is a very strategic body and mind working.
Yeah, which is interesting.
So the whole, like, wanting to know why is like, I need to know how A plus B equals C. And if I can't feel that or sense it, it's just like, I'm going to keep asking questions and annoy people.
Yes. I think I annoyed many people, like, a lot.
Well, you didn't, but, you know, that's totally on them. You just need to know why. Have you explored that quad-leftness of yourself? Quad-leftness, I say that lovingly.
Yes.
I'm three quarters right, so I'm like a bit.
Yeah. That ruled my entire life. So up until, I want to say, 2019, 2020, everything was black and white. Everything was, there was no gray. There was no middle. There was happy, sad. Those definitely didn't exist together. There was, you know, there was just such a black and white-ness to my life. And I literally took a year off of routine. I quit all my routines. I got rid of my planner. I got rid of my post-it notes, my tabbies, my pencils. Like, I put them all away and literally decompressed for an entire year. And that was so hard because, and that was part of me reestablishing that, like, that feeling of just the feminine receiving portion of me, I think, had been so overruled by logic and schedules and this, and it had to be this way, and, you know, very black and white. So yeah, I had to kind of like decompress from that. It was interesting, but
yeah, now that would be in a way traumatic for you.
Yeah,
like, do you get it? And I'm curious. Sorry, I'm going off now on another tangent.
No, you're fine.
Like, when you think about, well, when I sometimes think about like quad letter is it's a hyper focus in a way. You know, it's needing that structure, needing that like stability. But then you're also looking at the 6-3, which is on the upper trigram. So it's about the other. And I'm like, you know, I kind of get quad rights when they're on the top end because they're just low in there. But I just, I get fascinated by that.
Yeah. I mean, I always tell people, especially in the human design realm, I'm like, I feel like such a contradiction. Yeah. Like everything about my human design is so, like, just for instance, my cognition is taste. My environment is kitchens. And my, what is it? My comprehension, what is it? Is consecutive. Yeah. And so I'm like, oh, thank you. And so I've experimented with all of that. Cause you know, consecutive diet is typically one simple thing at a time. I'm a like self-proclaimed chef. Like my thing, like I'm like, I combine ingredients. Like that's what I do. So I've experimented with that. I've experimented with, you know, the opposite. And I, you know, I've come to some conclusions, you know, for myself, but it's just that contradictory part where I'm just like, so did my higher self really choose kitchen's environment, taste, cognition, and consecutive appetite? Like that makes no sense.
Just here to completely fuck you up a little bit. Cause I mean, totally then it fucked. Also gifted you with a 6-3 and everything else and a reflector. Yeah. I mean, like, whoa, rightio. When you say that, and when I look at your chart, I see it differently. It's fascinating because I think, oh, well, you like cooking and you like experimenting. For me, it's like taste, kitchens, and consecutive is maybe about, well, for this, for today, I'm going to focus on making brownies. And that is where my attention goes. And I'm going to make the best brownies and they are going to be wholesome. And that's it. That's all. That's what I'm having for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I joke. But so for to me, it's like a beautiful gift of that experimenting and hyper focus in that space. Because I know when you look at that, you could probably imagine when you looked at that for the first time, you're like, does that mean I've just got to eat olives?
I know. That's what I thought. And that literally I experimented with one ingredient dishes. And I did my best. I didn't give up herbs. So like, even if I would have a bowl of potatoes, I would still like have them herbed. I did like a bowl of roasted tomatoes, still had spices and things on them, but I'm just like, this is for the birds. This isn't for Michelle. Like are there people that thrive on the consecutive, you know, way of eating and they feel great? Yes, but I am not that person. And so that experiment for me was like, that is not, you know, that is not your dietary regime. You know, it's just not the best for you.
Yeah.
Because we can take it
too literally sometimes. That's what I'm saying. It's like maybe not one ingredient, but one
food type.
One thing.
Right. One thing. Yes.
And how sure are you of your birth time? Have you played with just, you're pretty sure.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard my, I don't know if any other reflectors have experienced very traumatic like entries to Earth, but my mom tells me about mine all the time. I'm like, if I hear this story, you know, it's a very traumatic entrance into Earth where it was like, I am coming right now, no matter what, who likes it or not. And yeah, it was, and especially back in, you know, the late 70s, they didn't quite have the, you know, the tools that we have now. So it was quite quite traumatic. I'm surprised she had kids after that. So,
well, that's what she tells you. Probably edit this bit out, but I'm a birth doula. So, and I also work with preverbal and prenatal trauma. Very interesting. Yeah. Let's have a bigger chat about that, because that's her perspective, and that's been with you your whole life. Yeah. So that's not okay. And I know that you, and let me just segue us back into that, because the work that you do is a lot with trauma and, you know, coaching and mentoring in this space. How did you get into that?
I think it was a way for me to utilize the tools and the skills that I had gathered through the crisis and trauma. And so, you know, it's at this point in my life, I'm like, am I going to necessarily lessen someone's crisis or trauma? Maybe not. And they really have, you know, they really have to want to, you know, work towards the healing. Like, you know, I can't make someone, you know, you can't alter someone's journey. And so it's like, they're here for their journey. They chose this. And so it's more so like, for me, it's like, here are the tools that I used. Here they are. If you can, you know, if you can borrow my toolbox is basically where I'm kind of at with that. And saying, just, you know, if any of this works for you, I've tried them, I've experimented with them all. and this is, you know, this is what I did, and take with that what you will. So.
God, I love that. Yeah, you can borrow my toolbox. Oh,
yeah.
Cause whose better toolbox would you want to borrow than somebody who's actually experimented with it all? Right. Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I've experimented. All of these have been experimented with. You can check, read about mine, do your own. I definitely encourage you to do your own. But for me, so much of the understanding and the remembering and the knowing comes from listening to the experiences and stories of others. Like, when I can hear a story about what it's like for you to be a, you know, a quad right, or for what it's like for you, for this person to have an open identity center, like a story for me, that it hits straight in where I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Like, I can totally absorb that. You know, I can totally make sense of that. And, but someone just telling me, well, if you're a quad, right, this is what you'll experience. I'm like, oh, I need a story. I need something more meaty than that.
You need to wrap it up in an experience, my friend.
Yes.
Give me a wrapper of experience. Otherwise, I don't want your filthy chocolate.
Right.
Oh, God.
Exactly.
You never know what's going to come out of our mouths some days, do you?
I know. Oh. Sometimes it's a surprise to us.
Yeah, it's just a whoa.
Like, whoa, hey.
It's even more surprising sometimes when I just go back through these before I put them online. I'm like, whoa, yeah, that's where we went. Okay, then.
Hey.
clearly that needed to be expressed.
I love that. A coach told me one time, she was like, you know, because I told her, I said, sometimes when I have these sessions, I just kind of like, you know, go this way. And she's like, someone needed to hear that. She was like, so
yeah,
just a heads up. I'm like, probably right.
We have been going for a while, so let's wrap us up here. Do you have anything that you would like to share with our little community, our little beautiful Reflector community?
Oh gosh, anything I'd like to share with our Reflectors. I think as much as we are alike, I think we're all so very different, and accepting all of those, you know, differences about one another, and doing your own experiment and trying things, you know, on for yourself and seeing how they fit. I always think of like going into a closet and trying on each other's clothes. I'm like, all right, that shirt looks great on you. Not so much for me, but you know, that's kind of what I think of with that. But no, I think loving all of us and, you know, sticking together and coming together for one, sharing our experiences, sharing our stories, and what we found through, you know, learning and remembering and knowing is so awesome. I love that.
I love that too. That's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. And yeah. How can people connect with you, work with you, just sharing? Yeah. We'll put it all in the show notes, but just share.
Yeah, for sure. So mostly I am found on social media. Mostly Facebook is kind of my primary. That's where I live. I live on Facebook. A little bit on Instagram. You can find me either place at Michelle Angel Cook. So.
And I have to, we were chatting off air because I asked you, is you like to be called Michelle or Michelle Angel? And yeah. You mentioned that that is actually what your dad gifted you, that name. And I just wanted to share that because I always refer to us types in a way as angels. So it's very, very
Yeah. I was hesitant about that name for a number of years. And I was, there's so, like I said, my name's so common, you know, especially when I go somewhere and they're like, oh, what's your account under? And I'm like, oh gosh, I'm sure there's 1,000 Michelle Cooks. So threw that middle name in there. And yeah. Now the last name I married into and I just, and I cook a lot. And so everyone's like,
Oh yeah.
Hey, it's all, the pieces are all coming together. It's only taken 47 years, but here we are.
Here we are. Love it. Thank you so much for just taking the time to chat with me. This has been such a, I feel like just been such a fun chat that we've had. I just really respect and appreciate you coming on and answering my invite again after a year.
Heck yeah. I'm here for it.
Yeah. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much.